Hello, everybody. It's Eddie. Glad you are with us tonight. I am back from Hawaii. Yeah.
Mr. Hawaii 50.
How about that?
That is good. Welcome back, Eddie.
I'm the only one without a beard, it appears to be. Well, Martha didn't have a beard. I guess.
Well, Martha, yeah. Martha doesn't have a beard there now.
Maybe her beard is blonde or something. I don't know. All right. So the boys, Martha and I, had a great time. Really was just something. It's something to hang upside down about, Mangan. I want you to watch this.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So you got to take your first zip line trip, huh?
First time to ever zip line. We went nine stages down the mountain. That was the last one. Finally got my courage up to go hang upside down. The longest peak was 2,400 feet, over 300 feet above the ground.
Oh, wow.
So that one wasn't, obviously, but I didn't have the nerve to go hang upside down the other ones.
Right. Well,
anyway, it was
like you had funny.
It was Hawaii. Funny. We had a big time. We did a lot of cool stuff and I'm back in the saddle, man. Ready to go.
Welcome back.
I would have sworn I was ready to go about last Wednesday, but in 35 years of business, that's the longest I've ever taken off.
They say you don't even take that off during Christmas time.
No, I'm not at one time. Anyway, it was fun. We had a good time. So appreciate everybody's wishing well and all that. And got Matt back with us here in Texas tonight. Mm-hmm. So we are ready for a big one. Matt and I are kind of piled up working off one computer here tonight.
Good deal.
All right, Mr. Matt, what's up?
All right. Well, kind of talking about what's up. I knew, Charles, I was back in Texas when I saw a super-duper raised F-150 pickup truck with nice wheels on it. I knew I was back in Texas then.
Yep. There's a few of those here in Texas.
All right, so Charles, this is a good case study, and I thought it would be worthy of us kind of busting it open tonight and talking about it. And really, the deal is when do you owner finance and when do you not owner finance?
Right.
So Matt, I guess let's go to this house first. Let's look at this bad boy.
All right, I just want to confirm, Deborah, you are unmuted. Are you able to speak?
I can speak. Can you hear me?
Hey, Deborah, what's up?
Hey, Eddie. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, so beautiful house. Is that a single wide or double wide?
Triple wide, Eddie.
Oh, a triple wide. I've owned triple wide, so don't make fun of that now.
If you go to the Zillow link, there's more pictures if you want to see them.
Oh, it's pretty. We got it. We got it.
Pretty house.
So tell us the story, Deborah. Tell us the story about the house.
Well, they moved in about 10 years ago. They bought it brand new, and they moved to California about a year and a half ago, and they've been trying to sell it through real estate agents. They had it on the market for, I think, $425. Yeah. And they got an offer at $375, which they turned down. This was long before it's been on the market for a year and a half. But now they've lowered the price. They've fired two agents. Now they've got their first agent back, and they lowered the price down from $425 to $395 through their agent on the MLS. But I got involved with Note School in December and brought up the potential of selling it through seller financing. And they were open to that idea, but I'm not educated enough, Eddie, on the process to really walk them through it. So that's why I wanted to bring it up on this call.
Great, great topic. So here's what I'm thinking, Deborah. We're going to go in this in two phases, okay? I'm going to talk about your creating the owner finance note that you've described, and then I'm going to let Charles wrap it up, because Charles has been, well, let's just say Charles has probably signed a buy-sell agreement on probably north of 30,000 houses. So he's still working at the process, but he's more experienced than most, okay?
Yeah.
So if you owner financed it, okay, and there's the terms that you're suggesting, you think if you owner financed it, you can sell it for $425, collect a pretty big down payment, $50,000, right?
Hoping to.
And then you're going to owner finance it, 30-year AM and a 5-year balloon.
That's what they were thinking, because they would like to get out of it. So they were thinking, actually, they were thinking about a 10-year balloon, Eddie.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, it doesn't matter. We, you know, 5 years better than 10. I mean, they would like to get out of it sooner rather than later.
All right, so let me tell you how I always look at it. When you owner finance, you have to figure out what the secondary market value of the note is, because you're not selling for cash, right? So what's the cash market say that the asset's worth? So Matt ran this math on this, and this is a sheet that's available to you, Streetwise Power Quoter. And that's just a little Excel spreadsheet that I built years ago that, you know, when we were talking about buying seller finance notes, and I've done this a lot, tens of thousands of times. And there's the same terms of your note, right? If they paid $50,000 down, you've got an 88% loan to value. If I sold that note unseasoned in the secondary market, it's worth just say a 12 yield. Okay? Mm-hmm. Matt, take out a broker fee. Maybe she don't charge her sister. Just put zero in there. So 306 is what an investor would pay for the note. And they're at 72% investment to value. And that's about all the market's going to stand. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So take 306 and 50,000 down. Where are you at?
356.
You got it. So move that number, Matt, to 11%. You see, you don't have an owner finance deal.
Price is too high?
It's just pure math. I mean, here you got a house that's easily conventionally financeable. You got no reason to owner finance it. You can't, the 50 grand kind of more, you know, whatever it is, or 30,000 more that you could sell it for, doesn't do you any good. It doesn't get you where you want to get. This is not a noter house.
Okay.
You see, Mangan, what would you say?
No, I agree with you. You've got a UPB of 375, right? So you got, you know, you're not even going to get your UPB back out if she wanted to sell the note. You know, and then here, if you do a 5-year balloon, and she holds the note, then are they going to refinance it in 5 years, be able to refinance it? Or are you going to be in the same position you are now and you have to extend that note?
Great
renew
point.
It?
Great point. That's called the balloon to value ratio.
Right.
And, you know, once again, in 5 years, if you get somebody that's not bank financeable, well, what do you do?
I don't think he cares about holding the note, Eddie. He doesn't really need the money immediately.
He wants, he owns it free and clear?
Yes.
And he just wants to own finance it because why?
Well, he doesn't want to sell it for $395 if he can get $425 for it. And I thought it would be a way for him to open up to more buyers because they're, you know, I guess what he's actually been offered is $375 and he doesn't want to sell it for that.
His ego's killing him, isn't it?
I'm not sure that he needs to sell it for $425.
His ego's killing him.
My thinking was that we could...
I'm just being careful.
Yeah, no, I hear you. My thinking was that we could...
He can do whatever he wants to. I'm just trying to show you economically it doesn't make any sense.
And I don't know, Eddie, give me your opinion on this. I don't know that you're going to find more buyers by seller financing in this price range.
Ryan would say that's not true. Ryan would say that he's found a lot of buyers when he's done a lot of fix and flip stuff in Phoenix that, you know, self-employed, not bankable. They got big money down, but they're not bankable.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, it makes sense. And that might vary by market, but I mean, I would have to agree with Ryan there. I mean, it's, I've never financed one this price range. So, but that's a good point.
So here's what we're saying. You may be completely right that he wants to sell it because he wants the price and he doesn't need the money. He needs to sell the house. The vacant house ain't going to be good for him. I can tell you that right now.
Right.
Right, Charles? I mean, there's a lot of risk in having a vacant house here.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Especially one of this size.
Yeah, you want to start seeing one having foundation problems and all kind of stuff. Let it sit vacant with the air conditioner not running in the summer and all that stuff. It won't be good for it.
Do you think owner financing opens up a bigger market for him, or should he just lower the price to get rid of it?
Listen, we're talking about family here, right?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, I don't think his ego is going to let him sell it for $375. I think what it's worth and what he thinks it's worth is two different numbers.
Right.
It's a pretty place. I mean, you know, it's a pretty place. We got it. And, can he sell it with somebody that's self-employed and that kind of thing? But I'm just showing you what the secondary market of the note is worth. There's not a note buyer alive, Charles, that would buy that note at more than 75% investment to value. Am I right?
You're right.
Fresh note. Never,
won't ever happen.
Fresh note, no notes made. So understand that that's all that it's really worth. The note's worth about $320. He gets $50,000 down. He's at $370. That's all it's worth.
Is it realistic, Eddie, to think that a buyer would come in through seller financing and pay that? I mean, what if he doesn't care about selling it on the secondary market? What if he holds the note for 15 years?
Look on here and see if Ryan happens to be on tonight. I think he probably is. Ryan's done this a lot.
Thank you. If you finance it for 15 years, you're really going to have, because this here is amortized over 30 years, you're really going to have a steep payment for somebody at 15 years.
$2,500 a month. I mean, I'm thinking, Charles, you got the typical self-employed, makes good money, they're just not bankable kind of thing.
Yeah, except that the $2,500 was amortized over 30 years, right?
Yeah.
So she's talking, if she's saying 15 years, then you're going to, that payment's going to increase.
Well, I'm thinking a 15-year balloon.
Oh, a 15-year balloon. Okay. Okay. I got you. I'm sorry.
So I'm figuring.
I wouldn't. Why would you do this? Why would you agree with that? I mean, that don't make any sense.
I mean, circumstances change, so I wouldn't put a balloon in there any longer than 5 years.
I wouldn't either. He's not subject to Dodd-Frank, right? If they're selling their personal home, he's not subject to Dodd-Frank. The balloon doesn't matter. Just put a five-year balloon in it.
My thinking was that whatever credit problems they might have, it might take them 7 years to correct those and, you know, a few more years to get refinanced. I was hoping that the interest rate of 7% would be high enough to motivate them to refinance as soon as possible.
Now, put that option in your category, not theirs. I mean, if they're solid people and they're paying for 5 years and you want to roll it forward and refinance them in 5 years, is fine. I would not extend the balloon. Okay, this is a completely, let me be clear about this. To the rest of the people on the call, this is totally different than looking at one of these working class houses that fully amortize a loan in, you know, 12 years or 15 years, right? This is not the same animal.
Right.
So we are talking about a specific high dollar house that's probably being sold to somebody that has a employed business and isn't bankable. It has nothing to do with selling working class houses with seller financing. So don't go play that back to me down the road. But Eddie, you said, well, okay, show me a $400,000 house and we'll have a conversation. Listen. What's the house going to place for in 5 years?
I'm sorry?
What's it going to place for in 5 years? It plays for about $375 right now.
Right. I don't know. 400? 425? I mean, they're selling the new homes in the same track for mid-400s right now.
Okay, well, why wouldn't it sell is reasonable?
I'm sorry, say it again, Eddie.
Why won't it sell?
Because they're selling brand new homes with pools. I guess the same builder is selling upgraded models, and this is a 10-year-old property. I think that they did get an offer at 375, so that number is right. I think that, and there are a lot less expensive homes that aren't, you know, the same quality as this one, but there are other options in the market.
Yeah, 400 plus selling the same house. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yep. So Eddie, if she's already with an agent, can they offer both financing? Can they do it traditional and seller financing and change the price of the house based on which method they choose?
No.
So if they go on the MLS for $395, they have to sell it for $395 regardless of how it's financed.
There's probably legal with saying I'm gonna change the price of the house because of financing. Am I correct in saying that, Paul?
Yeah.
It's just, it's not a notary deal to me, but you know, I mean, if it makes them happy, they can do whatever. I can imagine the real estate agent trying to sell this house. The real estate agent that sells $400,000 houses trying to sell this house with owner financing. It's going to be like telling them they're going to fly to the moon.
They'll never get it, Eddie.
They just, they're not, there's no way. I mean, you know, to sell this house at that, you got to go pull it off and have it with somebody that understands this kind of business. Typical real estate agent, just like, they you're not even close.
Yeah, they've got a gal that that kind of is trying to understand the seller financing model. She actually brought them one client that almost fit the bill, but they wanted payments of about $2,200 a month. So we kind of played with the numbers there, and they wanted to put, I think, $35,000 down.
Well, it's just a mathematical equation. That's why I pull that spreadsheet up. It's available on the membership site. It's just, you can see the math.
Right.
I know it pretty well.
So Eddie, what you're saying is that on like the MLS and Zillow and Trulia and all of these sites that we're on, we couldn't add a caption that says seller financing option available for deserving buyers with large down payment and $2,595 per month, sitting alongside with the $395 if they go traditional financing?
That's a Mangan question.
I mean, you could. You could still do that. I mean, you definitely want to advertise the seller financing and just to see what kind of response you get.
Well, she's saying this, Charles, and she's saying that you're telling the buyer you're going to pay more than it's listed for if we carry the paper.
Well, no, what's it listed for, $395?
Well, it's listed for $395, but if he's going to do seller financing, the numbers that we're showing are going to show he's going to want a higher price for it. Now, whether it's $425 or something less than that, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure he would be open to that, but he would want more than $395 if he's going to carry the paper.
Yeah, then I wouldn't advertise it on Zillow like that because Zillow is going to show what the list price was. So I wouldn't try to advertise it there if he's going to do that, you know. And again, a lower price than houses, you can do that, you know. That's usually not an issue on a lower price than house, but when you're talking about $300,000-$400,000 home, it's going to be a big difference because, you know, you're probably looking at a little bit more savvy buyer on these high priced homes. You know, again, they got credit glitches that, you know, prevent them from getting financing. But, you know, I think that if you try to up, you know, it's one thing raising a price $5,000, $10,000, but when you raise it $25,000, $30,000, you know, that's going to be a big chunk. Somebody's going to look at that, I think. I'm not saying you can't try it. I'm just saying that I don't think you'll get the response that you need on Zillow.
Deborah, let me point out a statistical fact that just happened in this call earlier, okay? Mangan has sold 30,000 houses for bank REO departments. He's never owner financed a house like this in this market. If interest rates were 12% or 18%, it's a horse of a different color. In a market like this, what they're trying to do does not fit a strategy that professional people would do in our business. I'm just telling you.
Because of the price band.
It's a better deal. Why do they need seller financing? Why?
Because they're business owners that try and show as little under tax
return. They're not willing to accept the price of what the house is worth. And it's not a notary house. The income approach doesn't work. You couldn't sell on the income approach, right? It'd be worth about $300,000 if you sold on what it's worth on a cash flow basis. In other words, we sell working class houses with owner financing because there's not conventional financing available, and that availability of owner financing or that income approach of selling it on a cap rate as a loaded turnkey property, that's the value of the asset. You're enhancing the value. You're not enhancing the value of this house.
Yeah, he's just trying to protect what he sees as his equity.
His ego's in the way. Sorry, just call a spade a spade. He don't know what the shit the house worth. You know what? I bought a car one time, went down in value too. Megan, I think I'm gonna sit up all night and worry about that.
Yeah, I think you better, Eddie.
I'm just, listen, you can note it. You know, you can go gross the price up. You can do a marketing strategy. You can do all that stuff. I know the board's lit up with all kind of people with all kind of ideas. The board's lit up with all kind of people with all kind of ideas. Lisa, I love your agent, but I'm telling you right now, an agent sells 4,000 more houses, doesn't understand as much about seller financing as, you know, Hudson does, my 18-year-old son. And I'm just telling you right now that they don't understand it. They ain't going to get it. It's ballet and football. So, you know, it was a great, Deborah, it was a phenomenal case study because we're asked this question fairly often from students. And when Matt happened to be in town today, and I said, hey, let's just pull it up and let's just pull the spreadsheet up and see what the old notes were. You can do it. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm not saying that he doesn't need the money. He probably's good and he can owner finance it and sell his way out of it. It's not really a notary deal. So you're going to go put it back out on the market and put it on the market for more money than it was before. I would not suggest leaving it on the market at a lower price and then offering owner financing at a higher price. I am concerned, Charles, about a legal issue of coming down the road and saying you sold it for you increased the price because you carried financing. I think there is a consideration issue with that. Am I correct in that thought?
Eddie, I'm not sure on that. What's the value? What did we say the value of the house was?
Well, once again, it's just he's selling it at more than list.
Okay, right.
You got to figure out which pony you're gonna do it for. You can say, well, it's worth $425. You can take that position. You can't say it's worth $390. And sell it for $425 if you carry financing. That's what I'm concerned about from a legal perspective.
Yeah, I'd probably confirm that, you know, from an attorney. I'm really not sure about that, Eddie, for sure. I'd probably definitely confirm that.
I've heard that. In the past.
I have heard that before. And I just don't know if it was in what states that I've heard that in. But, yeah, I have heard it before, but not something I've heard often.
All right, Deborah, are we helping you? I hope we are.
Yeah, no, you definitely are, Eddie. I guess what I really need to understand is if he was willing to carry the paper for $395, let's say he goes that direction, you know, can you walk me through the process of how to do it? If he does find somebody that is willing to sell or finance, I mean, I heard you talk about bandit signs. Is this like an asset class that bandit signs won't work? Do we just keep it all on online?
Well,
and do we stay with his realtor to show the property?
This is an asset class. This is an asset class that people buy online and people buy via a realtor. Bandit signs don't sell these price point houses. Bandit signs sell working class houses. Working class houses don't sell via, you know, realtor listings and that kind of thing, right? I mean, it's just a completely different, you know, society that they're living in.
Right.
So this is not, I mean, if you're going to sell it, you're going to use traditional means, but you can do it with owner financing. And there's somebody out there that'll pay more for the house because of that.
Right.
Lisa, my God, woman, you are something else. Lisa said drinks at the country club sell this house. Only to the damn realtors, Lisa. Only to the realtors.
So if we find a buyer for it, Eddie, that wants to do seller financing, what do I do? Find her and him an RMLO in Georgia?
You don't need one. They're not dealers. They're not subject to Dodd-Frank and Safe Act. They're selling a whole home.
How do they get the paperwork done correctly to protect themselves?
Well, I mean, you want to know the real answer to it?
Yeah.
Find a competent title company. You don't need to hire an RMLO.
Okay.
I mean, they're not subject to the law.
And what about servicing the note? Send them over to...
Definitely you want to... Yeah, the realtor has no freaking clue. Somebody typed in the realtor. The realtor has no freaking clue about the paperwork. You just take a fork in that deal. I mean, as far as drawing the owner finance deal, they can draw a buy sell agreement. They can do an earnest money contract, but that's all they can do. They're done after that. So the title company would draw the owner finance documentation. I mean, I bought tens of thousands of notes where somebody owner financed and the title company drew the note and the mortgage and did all that stuff. I mean, my question would only be like, just because they pay $50,000 down, what leads you to believe they're really going to pay you? Maybe with $50,000 down, you don't care. I don't know. I think I probably would.
I think he does.
But don't hire an RMLO. They're not going to vet. The reason they're doing owner financing is because they can't qualify. You can't hire an RMLO and do a QM qualified loan because it ain't going to qualify. Tell you that right now. Stick a fork in that deal. You're done. That doesn't mean they won't pay. That just means they, you know, I don't know. They'd maybe drive Uber 24/7. Get all cash.
So would Pro Title be somebody who might do this paperwork?
They have a title piece, Charles?
No, I mean they do title, but they wouldn't do documentation like this. They do title tax, but I don't think they have a documentation where they create the documents for a note and mortgage. It doesn't have to be Dodd-Frank compliant, but, you know, you could get a title company or attorney to draw it for you, a title attorney to draw it for you.
Yeah, my wife reminded me of the obvious that Greg Christian can do it. The attorney, Charles, I forgot about.
Oh, yeah. I did. Forgot about Greg. Yeah, Greg could do it. He's on our member site.
Okay.
All right, so let me go back and review it. Man, this lit the board up tonight, man.
It. I came to the board. Dang.
Yeah, there's only about 75 comments on this whole topic. I had a sense this was really going to light everybody up.
It's a good topic.
So the short answer is you could find a local title company to do it. I think that there's some other things you could do. Obviously, Greg Christensen can draw the owner finance documentation. I wouldn't hire an RMLO because I don't think that RMLO is, even though you hire the RMLO and you don't need them in this case, right? You're not subject to the law. Then they're going to go do the qualification process. Well, when they start qualifying the buyer, you know, they're going to, their debt to income ratio is going to be too high, right, Mangan? That's what's going to be wrong with
it. Yeah, exactly. Way too high.
So that's really kind of the, so you kind of heard my disclaimer. I don't really think you've got a notar model, guardian law. That's Greg Christensen right there. Okay. They can do it. So it's fine.
What do you think about the seller financing option available phrase on Trulia, Zillow, and MLS? Yes?
I think the strategy's got to be that you're selling owner financing with a large down payment.
So take the monthly payment out of there?
You want to know my humble opinion? Somebody says I can afford $2,200 a month. I can't afford $2,500 a month. It's full of crap. I mean, that ain't really their barrier to entry to doing this deal. They're just trying to negotiate.
Do you think it helps us by putting that monthly payment on these sites just to deter people that, you know, are coming in with lowball offers?
You ain't selling price. You're selling the ability to buy a house.
I was actually trying to sell the monthly payment.
No, that's not the strategy. You ain't selling price. You're selling non-bankable people. Totally different strategy. So let me recap really quick. Okay? This really is not a notar deal. Okay? It's a feel-good deal. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Okay? It's a feel-good deal. It's all that it is. You're trying to get somebody to owner finance because they don't want to accept what the market says the house is worth. Okay, cool. So they don't need the money. They own it free and clear. They got all their cash tied up in it. And they say, well, I'd rather carry the paper and be the bank than I would discount the house. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what to do with my cash. Okay, that's cool. So he's going to owner finance it. He's looking for somebody that's self-employed type. They can't get a loan at the bank because they probably can't prove their income. That's my guess. That's what you got. So Can you do it? Yeah. Will it sell in the next 3 months? Probably. Can you do it and get a big down payment? Probably. Can you do it through a realtor? You'd have to have a special realtor. Because the kind of realtor that sells that house doesn't understand the notar model. They don't understand the concepts that we've talked about tonight.
It's true. This realtor is kind of a special case, though. She's the one who bought them, the $2,200 a month buyers.
Well, I don't know. She may be a special case, but I don't know if she understands his model.
I think she just got an education in it for the first time, Eddie.
You know what? You're not hearing me throw my hands up in the air and say, hey, man, just I'm really sold on the fact she can do this.
The problem is we need somebody in the market that can show the property because they're in California and the property's in Georgia.
Mangan, what you gonna do now?
They're in California and the property's in Georgia. Correct?
Yes.
That shouldn't be no problem.
The problem is you don't have a realtor that understands this model. That's the problem.
That's true.
You know, and I'm thinking, and now that you mention it, Deborah, Megan's got nothing to do on the weekend.
There you go. I just go to Georgia. I'll have bandit signs all over the sucker.
He'll mobile haul it up.
Yeah, but I mean, a realtor in your own backyard is not going to understand it either, Eddie.
All right.
They don't understand it.
Deborah, all I can tell you is we've told you the truth. We may not have told you what you wanted to hear, but we've told you the truth.
No, I get that.
And for the 75 people that have typed in on this one, God love you, man.
So, Eddie, before we leave this topic, can you just assess my caption on the Zillow or the websites, the electronic websites, seller financing option available for deserving buyer with large down payment and $2,595 a month? Yes, no, maybe, partially. Throw it out, keep it in.
I take the payment out.
Okay.
But Mangan's your guy. Mangan has sold a lot of houses like this. Thousands. I've sold a half a handful, all of which were owned by Martha and Eddie Speed.
Charles, would you leave the monthly payment in or out?
I'd leave it out. Yeah, I'd leave it out. I mean, you know, they're savvy enough, they'll calculate their payment. You know, I think the biggest thing I'd leave in would be the down payment. You know, that's going to eliminate people that don't have the down payment. That's going to eliminate a bunch of calls.
I think they're open to not making it $50,000. I mean, I think they're open to taking something less than that. So that's why we just said with large down payment.
I would get as much down payment as I could there.
No, you're fixing to totally change the conversation. All right, let's move on.
We're gonna bring in.
Let's move on. We're getting critics here.
Thanks, Eddie.
You know me, I'm trying to be politically correct, and I don't want to be politically incorrect here. This is not a joke. No, it's not a joke. All right, let's move on. Deborah?
Yep.
You're pretty clear about it, right?
I'm pretty clear what you
deal. Do not outthink this deal. It's just as simple as we just laid it out. Only reason you'd owner finance it with a big down payment and the guy don't need the money.
Right.
All right, let's move on. Thank you, Deborah. Great topic.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Charles.
You're welcome.
All right, Matthew, what we got, brother?
All right, so up next we've got Teresa. And if I can go the right way here. Teresa, go ahead. You're unmuted.
Thanks, Matt.
Welcome.
So I would just, I'm in the process of building a spreadsheet to take a look at the tapes when they come in and analyze the different types of scenarios. And what I need to have a few questions on is trying to create a typical scenario. Because the position I have is if I can look at a best, a typical, and a worst, and get a feel for what those three might look like, then we can move on to doing the rest of the due diligence and I can feel comfortable there's a we can work the details of a better exit or specific exit strategy later on. So the questions I have are about around a typical scenario. A lot of the models I've seen run it as if the loan will pay out completely at the end of its term. But that's not typical. Most people hold a house for less than that. And so I'm just curious what your experience or what you could speak to as to how to frame a typical time frame that a loan might pay out would be the first question.
Well, I'm going to ask you a different question, Teresa. Okay?
Okay.
Would you really not buy a note that earned 11% yield versus 12.5% yield?
No.
Okay, well then.
But as I'm starting to learn, from a learning perspective.
Teresa, you're giving yourself brain damage. Okay. These loans are probably going to pay off early. Probably. Okay, you can Google that and get the definition. And, you know, how soon they pay off, they probably pay off in 7 or 8 years. That's just experience, okay? But I'm just saying to you that it doesn't matter. Just buy a good deal in the double-digit yields. Life takes care of itself. Don't build a spreadsheet. Don't do all that junk. It's horse manure. We don't do it, and my executive team's bought $3 billion worth.
Well, I'm doing it now because I'm learning, so I don't know what good. I don't know what good looks like yet, so I have to.
Good is good enough. It's better than the bank. It's safer than the stock market.
Okay, that answers the question. Thank you.
All right, I know it's not what you want to hear, but I'm just saying. I don't want to give you financial modeling. I'm just telling you, after all these years and all this experience, we don't do all that junk anymore.
Understand.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to
get. You did answer the question, and so I appreciate it.
All right, cool. All right, Mr. Stew. Stu, are you there?
Yeah, we are.
All right, how you doing, my friend?
Doing fine.
Hi, Eddie.
Tina's here too.
How you doing, Tina?
Good, thank you.
All right. You guys know what kind of mood I'm in tonight, don't you?
Yeah, we figured it out.
Hey, I'm rested up. I'm back from Hawaii, man. I got the laid back whatever, dude.
Oh, good. Did you love Hawaii?
You know, we really did do a why. We did a lot of stuff. We did from the volcano to the rainforest to we went deep sea fishing to the beach. I mean, we really did a lot of stuff. It was fun.
Right. That's good. Yeah, it's a great spot.
So here's the bottom line. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got some, as you refer to it, engineer type. Not that we're talking about anybody on this call.
Right.
And they're asking this intellectual, philosophical question of compound interest versus simple interest.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Yep.
So if you bought a note that had no payments, okay?
Right.
Pull that up, Maddie. This is an example that I use in class.
Yeah, it looks familiar.
$100,000 balloon at no interest due in 5 years, 10 years, and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the way you calculate what that loan is worth has a lot to do with compound interest. And the Excel spreadsheet, Matt, just click in there in the PV column, in the red there, brother. And that'll show you that the function wizard, pop the function wizard up there, Matt. There you go. The function wizard has calculated that the interest rate is 8% and it is 360 months away and no payment, and the payment at the end is 100 grand. That is calculated on compound interest. Interest on top of interest. You got it?
Yeah.
Are you selling that kind of note?
No.
What are you selling?
Simple interest. No,
you're selling compound interest.
No.
An amortizing
loan.
You got it. Compound interest is an irrelevant conversation.
Okay.
So the engineer type that Googled compound interest, you ain't selling a compound interest investment. Let me ask you a question. How far are you from the close on this deal?
Well, how far are we to close on it?
What's he like to write a check?
Well, we've had three or four discussions, and they've been going along quite well, and he seemed very interested. But then at the last, meetup, he kind of threw this question out. And
okay, well, let me give you the simple answer. I'm selling you an amortizing loan that not only covers the interest at the end of the month, it covers that he's making some level of principal reduction based on your investment. It's not a compound interest investment. Are you looking for a compound interest investment?
No.
Are you looking? Now, that's what I'm saying to Mr. Investor. Are you looking for a compound interest investment? I don't normally find those. Maybe once about every 5 years, but if you want to put me to put you on a waiting list, I'll call you back.
Right. Well, he kind of threw this question out. It
went from the spreadsheet to the close.
Right.
Okay. You're playing with these spreadsheets with some buyer is going to get you nowhere. You're done. You can stick a fork in this deal. Okay, that ain't what makes the guy write the check. His question is not a smart question. I asked Bob, I asked Manglin, I asked Ralph Marshall, I asked the guy that was the number three guy at Halo, all in my office today, and immediately when I said he's asking about compound interest, they started smiling, they go, don't matter. I'm like, of course it doesn't. You understand? Savvy people in our business know that his question is irrelevant. Because it's not a compound interest investment.
Does that make sense to you?
Yep, it does.
Okay, but what I'm saying to you is you got to get this guy to the close.
Yes.
Okay, that is not about a darn spreadsheet.
Okay, we just want an answer to the basic
question. I speak from vast experience on the subject.
Right.
You do not need a spreadsheet.
No, and we didn't want one because we don't understand them either. But we were just trying to answer his question, and I was having a senior moment because when he asked it, I couldn't come up with the answer. And then about 2 hours later, I thought, I'm sure it has something to do with amortization, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember what it was.
Tina, this is experience. Okay, and what you ask a great question. Matt will tell you immediately when you ask this question, I said, great question, because this is what the webinars are about.
Right.
Now there's 100 other people that know how to instantly react to somebody's question like that.
Okay.
That's the value of what we do. But understand that unless you've been deep in the space, unless you've dealt with that type of thing in the past, nobody could expect somebody just off the cuff to answer a question like that.
Right. Well, we couldn't.
Yeah, he kept coming back and saying, well, you're only making 2%. And I was saying, no, you're not. But I couldn't figure out how to explain it to him.
Well, here's what I would say. If you made a private loan, okay? If you made a private loan to an investor and take the amount he funds, and take the payment he would receive, and take the term he's going to get, you ask what would be the interest rate on the note. Okay?
That's how you
lay it out and show people, this is your return on the investment, because if you made a loan to somebody for the same amount that you would pay for the note, at the same payment, at the same amortization term, the interest rate on the note is whatever it is, 8 or 9 or 10%.
Right, it's par.
You know, and that is how the math works. And you can twist it all day long, but if I go to the bank and sign a note for the investment amount, and I'm repeating it again on purpose, for the investment amount and the term and the payment, that's what the interest rate would read on the note. That's how it works.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so here's what I would say, Stu. I have not heard you guys give me any like closing techniques. So if you said, if I could show you how you're really earning 8%, would that work for you?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. The math is what the math is. Ain't no, that's that simple. What I'm trying to do is to position you guys to get the guy to close, instead of having a theoretical conversation about how you calculate interest.
That's great, because
that's what we like to
we're
do.
Not, we're not up on the spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Does that help you guys?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Thanks, Eddie.
All right. Very good. All right, Mr. Matt, what else?
All right. I think that's gotten us to the end of our questions. So,
all right. Well, now we're down to figuring out what everybody's going to do in June, right?
I think so.
Okay. Well, let's see what everybody's going to do in June.
Well, first off, we're going to do
the. Oh, we got to do the information sheet here. Okay.
Yeah. So I know Miss Speed told me today there are a few spots still open. I had been saying that I thought they were pretty close to being closed.
So I think there's a couple of stragglers. So they're like, if you want to go do it, there's a couple of stragglers for the ladies mastermind.
it'll be good. It's going to be up at the ranch, but don't think that you got to go out and pick peanuts or something. So it will be at the retreat place, but we didn't send them out to go harvest alligators or anything, are we, Mangan?
No, I don't think so, Eddie.
All right.
Don't think we'll be doing that.
Big thing is, if you have questions after you've bought an asset, go scoot that back up there, Matthew. If you have questions about after you bought an asset, it's post-closing at colonialfundinggroup.com, and we've got a kind of a SWAT team of folks that are dealing with that, so it's pretty important that we can answer your questions after you've bought an asset. Assignment, where the deed is, all that good stuff is things that will be appropriate after you've funded a transaction and are waiting for paperwork or any kind of information related to that. All right, Mr. Matt, let's scroll down here. Titanium Mastermind, if you have not registered, it'd be a really good time to do that. And you can go to noteschool.com/titanium. And that's coming up in the middle of April. I've worked Charles a lot of the day on the curriculum for that. So we're really excited about it. And we're
a great event.
Everybody that's a Titanium to the Texas Rangers Orioles game on Saturday night. That's a baseball game, Mangan.
Yeah, you thought it was cookies, didn't you?
Oh,
it is a baseball game, maybe.
All right.
No guns allowed.
All right. So what else we got, Matthew?
All right.
So everybody, 1st of June, this has got to be the deal. Okay. So if you're a mentor student, 1st of June, we need to see you in Dallas. And we got a little commercial here, Mangan, that we're going to play. So you ready for it, Mangan?
I'm ready, Eddie.
All right.
Hey, guys, it's Eddie. Summer Summit time, June 3rd through the 5th, 2016. It's going to be at the American Airlines Training Facility right outside the DFW Airport.
I think there's three dimensions to Summer Summit and the Note School family all get together. I think there's process. I think there is the emotion of dealing with the business. And I think there's diligence. It can be closing. It can be boarding a loan. It can be post-closing. It can be a creative exit strategy. What would the Note School mega experience team do? What would they do in this situation? We found that we can really go deep when we get everybody together with a like-minded process and a like-minded background. It's been said that entrepreneurs who can emotionally deal with what goes wrong survive. It's getting up and dusting yourself off and fortifying in your mind that you can do what it takes, even though there's obstacles in the road. Without relationship, I would have never built a net business and done the things I've done over the past 35 years, and I don't believe you will. Relationship means that you have somebody that's been through similar experiences and been through similar processes. This relationship cannot be replaced on the telephone. This relationship and the life friends that we make in the business is done at live events. You need to match with people in the business that can inspire you, and those are the things that we are trying to make sure that are happening when we all come together at Summer Summit. All right, so remember, here's the deal. It's June 3rd through the 5th, 2016. Here's how you're going to register. You're going to go to noteschool.com/summer summit. Remember, we're having a one-day bonus class taught by Dyke Spotiford. That's going to be on June the 2nd. So there's two registrations. There's one for Summer Summit. Doesn't cost you anything. And then there's the Dyke Spotiford class. $250 for a primary,
$200 for a guest, and that includes transportation and a meal at the Fort Worth Stockyards that evening. It'll be a fun time. Doc Spotterp is a brilliant guy. We'll see you at Summer Summit.
All right, so you guys heard the deal. Summer Summit, 1st of June. Additional one-day class, all the proceeds go to the Child Welfare Board, so that is a fundraiser. But we wanted to have something really quality, and Dyke Spotterford, if you know anything about him, he's a brilliant guy, super, super brilliant. Walter Wolford, Watson, basically guys that you all know and respect, are like, they're like the biggest fans ever of this guy. I know him very well. I've done some training for him in the past. I would tell you that I'm a fan, and I am a student of his. And so we got him to come to the class, and the proceeds are going to go to the Child Welfare Board, and then Summer Summit, regular Summer Summit for the mentor students, starts the next day. So you heard the deal. And by the way, the Child Welfare Board is going to take all the people of the bonus class and take you on a bus and take you to the best barbecue. Finolio assures this, Mangan, the best barbecue made in Fort Worth, Texas.
Well, Finolio would know where the best barbecue is, Eddie, no doubt.
So, anyway, we look forward to that, and see you there. You guys, this was a good call. I know we beat the house up a little bit, but we have a lot of questions about this topic. And we saw this as an opportunity to kind of really drill in and stuff. Really appreciate it. I think we had more, Mangan, I think we had more responses on the call tonight than we've ever had. So we lived,
that's what we like,
with a lot of ideas about it. So if you are a Titanium, we are looking forward to seeing you here pretty close in about a month or less, slightly less than a month. And we are doing a lot of work preparing for that. And if you are just a regular mentor student, we are looking forward to seeing you 1st of June at Summer Summit. And obviously, I really, 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 really think you need to come to Dyke Spotterford class, which is a pre-class. That class, Charles, is on how to create an entity for tax minimization and asset maximization, asset protection. So big.
That's a topic everybody needs to listen to.
Yeah. We'll see you guys later. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, everybody.